Welcome to Ben Behaving Dadly with me, Ben Hanlon. This is the podcast where I sit down each week with a celebrity guest and get their best parenting tips and advice, from the small little parenting hacks right up to the big stuff.
Today's guest is Mario Falcone. Now, you'll know him. He was born in Essex, and in 2011, he came on everyone's screen in The Only Way is Essex, season 3. He was there for 13 series. He left the show. He's been on loads of other things since then, for example, Celebrity Big Brother. And I didn't know this, but in last December, he won £9,000 after betting on his sister, Giovanni Fletcher, to win I'm a Celeb, which she did. So that was a good Christmas. And he's currently working on the release of his brand new trainer brand, Belvotti Milano. Hopefully I pronounced that right. We'll see. But we're not going to talk about any of that today, because in August 2016, he started dating his now fiance, Becky. They had to push their wedding plans back, but for a very good reason, because they had the arrival of their son, Parker Jax. He's now 2. So Mario, you are very much with a 2-year-old currently in a lockdown. So you're in the trenches. Mario, welcome to the podcast. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
That's all right, mate. That's all right. Tell you what, I've not spoken to anyone who's starting a trainer brand, right? My first question when I was reading about that, why trainers? Why does that grab your attention?
Well, the thing is, what a lot of people don't know is I used to be a bespoke tailor. So before I ended up on Towie, I used to make suits for some of the wealthiest people in London. And I used to love the creative side of it. And I always loved shoes. I always loved trainers. And I didn't want to go back to making suits, especially at the moment, because it's a very, very niche market. But I wanted to do something that would keep my creative juices flowing. Trainers just seemed like the go-to.
So Mario, you are at home with a 2-year-old. First of all, talk me through your day-to-day, right? How does it start? Are you getting punched in the face to begin at like 5 a.m.? Like, what's a normal day in your house at the moment?
So at the moment, I get up probably before my son, which sounds crazy, but I'm normally up at like 6. We've got a gym at home, very lucky to have a gym. So I try to go up, have a coffee, have like half an hour to myself before the madness begins. And then I can hear him. I can hear him stirring. Becky brings him down. Normally, first thing, it's pretty chilled for the first hour. It's a lot of Peppa Pig, milk. Everyone's nice and chilled. And
then it's just Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues, which is really, I honestly hate that man.
So annoying, isn't he? That handy, I know where he can shove his handy dandy notebook. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly that. And the thing is, I remember when Parker wasn't into it, I used to think, I hope he never gets into this guy, because he is so annoying. Like Peppa Pig, yeah. I can sit there and lose myself in Peppa Pig. I'll admit it, I actually can. Blue's Clues, it's a killer. But then literally I'll train and get an hour to myself, which I need that hour. Then get showered. At the moment, it's literally trying to think of things to keep them entertained. Like we've always said, we don't want to be like iPad or TV parents. And I used to be really against that. I used to be like, my son's never going to go on the iPad. But there are times he get back home at the moment. We're trying to just find things to keep them occupied, keep it fun. The snow has been amazing, obviously, because it's something he's never seen in his life.
Yeah.
Then at lunchtime, he has his nap, which is normally when we try and get some sort of work done.
He's like 2 at the moment, right? So just hold on to that nap, because soon that nap is going.
I feel it going. I can feel it going, because every day that nap time at lunch is getting more and more of a battle. And it literally, we need that hour. Because sometimes I sit there and think, right, I've got the hour and a half to do some emails or any little logistical bits I need to do. But sometimes when there's nothing to do, I can sit there and play FIFA. Now, that just takes you back to being like an 18-year-old, no kids, no fiance, had no one to answer to. And as you just sit there and play the game, and it's like your switch off. You don't actually think about anything else about other than what you're doing. He'll wake up. And then literally it is just that chaotic afternoon and trying to think of things to do. And he's where he started to get vocal. He's quite demanding. And I think he probably gets that from me. He'll come up to you, grab your hand, but daddy, come now, sit now. So it's just literally, we try and play. I try and play as much as I can, but I'm 33 next week and I just find it really tiring. Once I've played for like an hour, I'm knackered.
It's a bit, because you've got like, it's the fake energy, isn't it? It's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, that's great. But okay, so he's two and a bit. What are the struggles then? What are the day-to-day things that you guys are kind of wrestling with at the moment?
One of the main things at the moment is picking up a lot of what we say.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have the most perfect mouth, because I do have a bit of a potty mouth sometimes, especially when I'm on the phone to some of my friends or whoever, or old business.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The old F-bomb can slip out, or anything really. So he'll repeat, and then Becky goes mad. And then obviously, I think...
How has he repeated it to someone he shouldn't have repeated it to?
No. Thank you.
Yeah.
After I say it, and then I'm like, no, you can't say that. But yeah, he's done that a few times, and he copies everything I do now. So I'm quite a wind-up as a partner, like, especially in lockdown. I like to terrorize Becky, I'm not going to lie. So whether that be throwing pillows at her when she's trying to work, anything. But then Park will do the same, but he'll take that step whole too far where it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And take it to like a whole new level of smacking her and stuff like that. So then also I get in trouble for that, so I can't do that. He just picks up on everything. So, and then everything he picks up on, he escalates to a level that's just not acceptable.
Yeah, and then you get in trouble for it.
My mum's in our bubble. She's staying with us, and I called her old. And now he keeps going out to my mum and calling her old. He's going back to his old. And stinky as well. He keeps calling her stinky, which for me, I find hilarious. But then obviously when he goes to nursery, if he calls one of the, the teachers or, the people looking after him old or stinky, it's not going to go down too well. So I think that's the hardest thing at the moment is that, and it's just the energy. He's just, he's got a lot of energy. You can't really get him to chill. He has no chill. And, he's just very stubborn. He's very stubborn, knows what he wants. I think if he's like at two, what's he going to be like when he's three, four, five?
So he's two. So where are you at with like, okay, so the main one for every parent, and it sounds like maybe you're kind of coming out at the end of this tunnel. So how are we doing with sleep, first of all? How's that going?
Fine. That's the one thing I can say. He is superb. When he goes to the good bedtime routine at seven, bath, book, he's in bed. No night, daddy, love you. Straight to sleep, sleeps through till, between 6 and 7, which is fine.
Boom, take that. And then where are we at with like nappy training? Because this, are you starting to talk about it?
We started potty training. It was going really well. Like he was really good. He's doing, the overexcited thing when he did a poo in the toilet. Like,
yeah.
High fives. Got like a little sticker thing, Paw Patrol, that he got to have a sticker and put it on the sticker chart.
So was that your thing? So go on, talk to me about the rewards then.
So we were getting somewhere, and then he went, this is when he wasn't at nursery for a little while, over like the Christmas period. And then when he's gone back to nursery, it's like, it's just gone the whole other way. And, we'd ask him, do you need a wee? And he'd be like, no, daddy, no. And then you'd ask him a few times to the point where it gets weird. And then he'd go, no, daddy. And then he'd go into his room and wee himself. And you're like, mate. But then the thing is, that's fine. If somebody does like a poo, like the other day he did it, and I was just like, you just think, for God's sake, you asked him so many times. You can't get, I think it's so like easy to get annoyed because you've asked him. Yeah. You've asked a 2-year-old.
Talk to me about the stickers then, right? So what's the deal? Like you get so many, prize.
So it was just more of a thing to sort of, where he's obsessed with Paw Patrol. We bought these stickers and we have this little sticker chart at the back of the toilet downstairs. And so when he does tell us that he needs a wee or a poo, or he does a wee or a poo on the toilet, he gets to take a sticker and put it on the chart.
Right. Yeah.
And he loves stickers, sticker mad. And that lasted for all of like 3 or 4 days and we thought it was really cool. And then he was just like, over it.
So we had it where I think doing this in the winter, I think it's really difficult, right? Because like we did it with Elvis in the summer. So we're outside. We're like, right, this next 2 weeks, let's try and be outside as much as possible. So if there's a problem, we'll just fling it over the fence or something. What I mean? It's fine, right? But now doing it in the winter, I think and we're in lockdown. I think that is anyone who's like nappy training during, or potty training during lockdown, big problem. But what we did, right, and you try and be good parents and healthy parents, but let's be honest, kids love chocolate, right? And we don't want to be one of these parents that I'd love to give my kids nuts and things like that and then have as much fun as chocolate. But we just got to a point with Elvis where we're like, right, very simple, mate. If you do a poo on that toilet, you get a piece of chocolate. It doesn't matter what time of day. And it just worked. Now, there's probably going to be some parents kicking off at this saying, we're teaching them about sugar and stuff, but it did work. A little square of chocolate. And it kind of worked.
It won't hurt anyone at all.
Yeah, and you're like, do you know what? I'll take that. I'll deal with the diabetes later.
We bought a book. I haven't read it. It came yesterday, and it's a kid's book, and I'll read it soon. So I normally do story times. Apparently, I'm more fun than mummy when it comes to story time. My voices are better, which you wouldn't. I'm a cool character most of the time. When it comes to book time, absolute nerd. This book is about potty training. So I'm hoping that whatever the little boy does in the book, he'll take on board. I don't know. That's what my sister Giovanna, she recommended the book.
So is it, your sister, you, Giovanna and Tom, obviously your brother-in-law, are you on the phone to them a lot? Because they've been doing this for ages now.
They have, but obviously at the same time, I think every kid's different. So what would have worked for them or would have worked for our other friends that have got kids, little boys and stuff, won't necessarily work for us and vice versa. The thing is, we're quite patient. I mean, I don't really get very irate or angry about anything. It kind of is what it is. I just always remember that he is two. So, and as his understanding gets more, as he picks up more, he talks more and stuff like that, he's obviously going to grasp the concept of the toilet more. We've just sort of taken a breather from it at the moment. We've gone back to nappies.
Oh, really? Oh, you've cracked.
After a few wee's and a few poos, we were just like, yeah, he's not ready.
And they'll do it. He'll do it in his own time.
That's the thing. Like, I remember when Parker, like, everyone used to wonder about us when he didn't walk. So he didn't walk till he was like 16 months. Everyone started making us feel really bad about it on social media. Like, oh, I can't believe he's not walking yet. It's just like this really random knee shuffle. It never really bothered me because I was very much of the mindset that he's going to walk as and when he's ready to walk, as opposed to us trying to make him walk at a year when he's not ready. So I always feel like, and then he did, and then after a couple of weeks he was running and he was fine. So that's sort of my fear, I guess, with regards to potty training or anything that he does, is that he will do it when he is ready. Yeah. Obviously, we will guide him as you would as parents, but You know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So, we can park where the toilet is and he's going to get a sticker or whatever, but if he decides that he wants to do it in his pants, then that's what it is.
Yeah, it's fine. And you're not going anywhere at the moment. It's fine. It's not like it's happening in public.
You know, I'm reading, we're still a few months off going to restaurants and stuff. So, hopefully by then. The thing is, even then, I think, like, if we took it to the level, like you said, when it's a bit warmer outside and we can sort of just let him roam like a wild animal, then obviously we'll try the potty training at home a bit more. But then obviously when we go out, nappy, play it safe.
Right. So Mario, right, point of this podcast is for like parents to come on and give some of their tips, right? So it can be anything from small little hacks that you've been using currently to the bigger stuff. Have you had a think? Have you got any little tips in mind?
To be fair, most stuff, I'll have to be honest, we've been pretty lucky. Like food, he's got the Italian thing in him where he eats. He eats anything you put in front of him. I mean, if anything, really, I do the overexcited dad thing where you just like everything's excited. So you want him to do something, you're trying to change his, like, he wants something like, I don't know, a snack or something. You just get overexcited about something. Kelsey's episode of Ramo, I always do that. But I don't know, tips wise, I mean, the one thing I think I've realized, especially where I've been at home a lot more at the moment, is your kids want nothing from you. Like, other people in your life have always got like an ulterior motive. Well, everyone wants something of you. Your kids want nothing from you other than your time. So you can buy them, like, we've the amount of toys we bought Parker in this lockdown to try and keep him occupied or keep him happy. But the only thing is, without you to play with them, they're just bits of plastic. Mm. And that's one thing I've realized, especially recently, is that, all they want is your time.
You know, I get what you're saying. What you're saying is be aware that the most interesting thing to them is you.
And I think there's no one else in the world you can really say that about.
Mm.
Without you know, to them, you're everything. Mm. So everything else is nothing.
And that's the whole point, is it's very easy to lose sight of these things. Like, we've had some people come on talk about, like, you know, it's a combination of that and being present. So if you flip it the other way, so if you look at that, like how you affect them, the thing I found really interesting when we had kids is, like you said, everybody wants something from you. And sometimes as well, if you like, you know, you live in Essex, you're on the only way is Essex, you're a celebrity, everywhere you go and whatever you do, there's a little bit of a light shining on you, right? Whereas when you've got a kid, what I thought was amazing is that it doesn't matter who you are, they are now the center of attention. And it's quite nice that the world does revolve around them. Because sometimes I think we all get caught so caught up in our own stuff that we think the world revolves around us and what we're about and whatever latest thing we're doing. And it's quite nice that actually they're the most important thing.
Well, I think especially to us as parents, I think it's quite nice that there's such a nice realization that when something doesn't go your way, whether it be work or anything you're doing, you still have them to give you perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as well, it's also quite nice that, like you said, all they want to do is to play with you. It's also quite nice that they don't care what kind of day you're having.
Oh, exactly that.
So you might think, oh, I've lost this deal or this has happened or I've had this problem at work. And they're pretty consistent. I mean, yes, they can be grumpy in other ways, but in general, like you say, what they want from you is really consistent. Just hang out with me.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a tip though. I mean, tip wise, I mean, that's me. It's really hard because Parker's such a good child.
Really?
He really is.
Do you know, some people are hating you right now.
100%. I hate me. I hate me for saying it. Honestly, I do. But the thing is, it's really hard. Because obviously, when other people say, oh, my child's doing this and you've got any advice, I'm like, well, no, because he has been, other than the potty training thing, which is, like I said, it's something that I'll take with a pinch of salt. I don't really stress myself over it. He's really good. He's happy all the time. Yeah, he knows what he wants. But then at the same time, I find that endearing because that's the way in which I am. So yeah. I don't find anything wrong with that because then at least you know what he wants. Mm. It's not like you sit there trying to ask him 100 questions about what is it you want to do. He's like, no, I want to do this now.
Yeah.
And you're doing it with me. So I was thinking, we're quite lucky. So
yeah, but do you know what though? This is a blessing and a curse because, this is exactly it. I've got a friend of mine. He's one of my best mates. And if he's listening to this, he knows exactly who he is. And he's like, oh, my kid goes to bed at 6:45 every night and doesn't wake up till 8:00 in the morning, right? And I'm like, I want you to have another kid because it's statistically impossible to have a second perfect child. Like, it's just not going to happen. So it's a blessing, but equally, good luck.
Yeah, that's what I think. I keep saying that because obviously now we're talking about baby two, where the wedding won't happen until next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like the elephant in the room is, well, we have time to do that now. And I've just got a feeling I'm going to have like a little girl who's just going to be just an absolute nightmare. She's going to be the complete opposite to Parker. I think that's why it's hard to think of a tip, just because he's really good.
So one question I normally ask is, some days you're just not in each other's wavelengths, right? And for me, I mean, I've got two of them, and Elvis is a slightly bit older, but there are days where I have to just step away, get out of the situation and like reset myself do a couple of things that I need to do to reset myself, keep my mental health on point. And I know that mental health is something that you've talked about a lot in the past and just making sure to take care of yourself, right? So when it comes to parenting, has there been any things that you've gone, I need to do this to make sure that I am my best version of a dad?
Well, I think it's just that thing. I think with parents, we have this whole thing where, you know, you want to, your kids become your life, which is fine. I think that's absolutely fine. But like you said, you still need to take time for yourself. Like I said, I'll get up in the morning and train. That hour I need. It's not just so I have a six pack or anything like that, because I don't. Those days are long gone. I will set off for my beer belly. You know, it's more of the mental aspect of it, that it's that routine. It's that feel good factor. That's something I'll do every day. I will not miss a day. That's one thing I'll give myself every day, is that 1 hour. And even in the evenings, I like going for a walk on my own. Like once Parker's gone to bed, I like to go for a walk, especially at the moment when it's nice and fresh. I like to just have that time to switch off, leave my phone at home and just switch off. And just like reset and just not really think about stuff and just have a walk. But then I think, yeah, for me as well, it's hobbies. When I first had Parker, I didn't really have a hobby. You need something to get you out of the house.
Right.
Something that's yours, something that you can introduce them. Like, so mine's golf. I never played golf before. Went into the first lockdown. My dad played golf. He was like, come play golf. I was like, no, golf's for old people. He was like, come play golf. When I played golf, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be good at this. It's why I'm quite competitive. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have lessons and get really, really good at this. And now it's that thing that I go, well, not now, obviously, thank you, Forrest. But it's one of those things that typically I would go and play like once or twice a week. That would be my thing.
So
I don't feel selfish for doing that. I feel like, because I've had my time, when I do come back from golf, I'm ready to jump in and be dad.
Yeah, no, and that's it. And that's the thing, isn't it? Like you say, if you acknowledge, I could be here 24/7
or I could be gone for a few hours and then be a better version of myself.
I'd rather be a better version of myself in the hours that I am there, as opposed to be resentful or just sort of feel like, you know, I think there's nothing. I think that's the one thing. When we first had Parker, we wouldn't even go on a date night or have any time away from Parker because we felt like, oh, we've decided to be parents. We should be parents all the time. And Parker, we should never leave Parker. I don't know which one of us sounds like that. Yeah. Says Becky. And then you just get to a stage where you realise that it's just unhealthy. It's unhealthy for you, it's unhealthy for your relationship. Because it's not just that I become a better dad when I go do things for myself or things that make me feel better or feel happy. I become a better partner, so then our unit as a family is better. And I say the same to Becky. Like, if she wants to go and do something, I'm never going to say, don't do it. I'll say, do it. Because then when she comes home, it's the same thing. She's a better version of herself. And then we have it's a nicer zen environment in our house.
I acknowledged especially during lockdown that I can't just work and be a dad. If because you got to a routine where you woke up, do a few hours of being a dad, then a few hours of working, then being a dad and work, and then sleep, repeat. And I worked out pretty quickly. I said I need something else in that combination, because otherwise it's going to be burnout. So, and Bri's the same, and she sometimes feels a bit guilty, I think, of going, oh no, like you say, we should be around or we should do this. But I tried to, when we could, try to go, right, we need to put time for ourselves, like just me and her, because that's the thing that gets pushed right to the side, doesn't it? You go, you know.
Oh yeah.
So we...
You make an excuse that it's okay, but it's not.
But do you know what's quite interesting, right? You say you picked up a hobby. I thought you were going to... I genuinely got a hobby. I was like, what's he going to say? Is he going to say, like, learning an instrument or, like, I don't know, a bit of Lego in the house? You've picked up the longest sport to play, like 5 hours a time, right? Now, I used to play golf until I had kids. I used to play golf and we had kids and she's like, you think you're going to shoot off for half of a Saturday? No, mate, not happening. But yeah, fair play.
You've got to be clever. So I go and play golf normally when he is at nursery.
Okay.
So when he's at nursery on a Wednesday and a Friday, I'll tee off at 8 and I actually leave golf, have a quick beer afterwards, obviously.
Yeah.
Part of golf.
Yeah.
So it literally is a part of golf. And then pick up Park on the way home from nursery. And then that's it. I'm dad the afternoon. So that works very, very well, because I don't actually lose any time that he would be at home.
Yeah. So it sounds like you say you've got it pretty handled. You've got your hobby. You're pretty stress free. Parker is the dream child. I want to get
most of the time.
It's a question you got to ask every parent. What's been the most embarrassing or funny moment during parenting? Now, I know you've probably had a lot of it indoors, right? Or a lot of it in lockdown.
No. My worst one is, so obviously back to the tailoring, like one of my best friends who I've known since I was 5 was doing his suits for his wedding. And I was an usher. So he was like, oh, can you come and get measured for your suit? And obviously see my suit as a groomsman. And I was like, yeah, mate, like, you know, get all the big and like, oh, you know, he used to be a tailor. You know, and he used to be that guy's like, yeah, he used to play football. That sort of thing with tailoring. And I was like, mate, I've got Parker for the day. Because Becky was working, can I bring him? And he was like, yeah, mate, not a problem at all. So obviously packed the bag, all fine. And then went to a restaurant, went to a cafe in the morning to have breakfast first. And then in the car on the way to the tailor's, Parker did like the typical car poo that's in the back everywhere. And I was like, oh.
The nightmare one, the one that you...
Just the one that you see like people's videos of and you think that would never happen to you. The horror poo.
The one that's so bad, you have to take a photo to send it to your partner and go...
The one that's like a mystery. Like, how did you get it there? How did it go there?
It's on your neck.
What happened? What have you eaten? So then, I cleaned them all up, cleaned the car seat up, changed him. I went into the tailor's. I'm giving it all the big I am to the guy behind who's doing the suit. And his knowledge was all right, but it was very off-the-peg knowledge, not tailoring knowledge. So I'm talking, I'm looking at Park and he's drinking his milk and I can just see this patch coming up the side of him. I'm like, oh no, not again. He's done it again. I said to Jamie, I said to my mate, I said, mate, I need to go now. He was like, mate, we haven't seen my suit. I said, your suit looks nice. I said, we need to go now. I said, I haven't got the bag. The bag's in the car. I said, and he is covered. So I got back to the car and obviously I'd only bought one spare outfit with me. And so he ended up going home. And I don't, literally, that was it as well. I picked up the wrong nappies. I picked up swimming nappies. So I ended up taking him home in a swimming nappy and a denim jacket that I found in the car that was his. So when I got home to Becky, our son, came home in a denim jacket, a nappy, and he pooed massively twice when I was trying to give it the big I am in the tailors.
Do you know what? It's one of them as well, isn't it? Sometimes you go, I'm just done. It doesn't matter what event I'm at, whatever's going on, we need to get to the safety of home where we can just chuck it all in the bath and just crack on. So a positive question then. So what, looking back, what has been a moment, and it can be one single moment or a particular time, which is like your best parenting moment where you look back on, maybe you did it at the time and went, this is great. Or maybe there's a certain time in your day, in your week, when you're with Park and you're like, these are the bits that are the best bit about being a parent.
Well, I think as a man, you have things that you, before you have a child, you envision for years, don't you? You do. You have those things that you're like, when I take him to his first football match, things like that. Yeah. And I mean, even that for me, I mean, I'm very lucky that one of my friends is, I'm a Spurs fan. So
right,
it's a tough time at the moment.
But, sorry.
Are you a Spurs fan?
No, I'm not. No, I'm from Birmingham, mate. I support Birmingham City, which is why.
Oh, cool, bro. I've got a better team in this call.
Yeah, which is why I don't talk about football ever.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I've got a friend who's at Spurs. He's the head of global development marketing, and we get to go to a box there quite a lot. Obviously, I'd never take Parker into the normal crowd because it would obviously be the worst thing. So when he was one, I'd been invited to a game. It was a really, really good game. It was one I really wanted to go to. Becky was at work. Her mum wasn't able to come over. So I was called by my mate. I was like, can I bring Parker? And he was like, well, yeah, there's no age.
Yeah.
So he was one. He just turned one. So I was like, okay. So he arranged the parking for me actually next to where the gate was so I could walk through a Parker. So Parker there. And we got in there and they got a high chair for him in the stadium.
Yeah.
But the women in the box are really good, like giving him sweets and stuff. And he watched the whole game. He loved it. And that for me was like an amazing moment because it's something that, I don't know, it's one of those things you build up in your head as you get older and you're ready for kids. It's one of those things that you build up. So that was an amazing moment, just because, I didn't do it with my dad till I was like 12 or something like that. So at a young age, that was nice. But I mean, the first time we ever said dad, it was the first time that I proper like thought, you know, and you just see proper like, it's such a small word, but it's just such a massive impact. I was actually flying to Vegas, my friend Stag. It's like Becky had told him to say it.
Now, what she done is she got like some sort of sound off the internet and just like put it behind 100%. Him.
Yeah. Literally, it was that morning. We were laying in bed and I was waiting for the boys to come pick me up in the minibus. That morning she's like, dad. And I was like, oh God. Then I filmed it and it was just the one thing that I watched every single day in Vegas.
Oh, mate, that's
while I was crashing hard.
I mean, the fact that you're on some sort of like terrible hangover, probably really overly emotional, the beer for you, like, it probably sent the emotions all over. But
yeah, I want to go home.
But the good thing about that stage is that, like, I think for dads as well, the first 6 months, you don't feel like you're getting as much of a connection.
You're a little bit left out, I think. I think when they're pregnant, they're the ones who have already developed this amazing relationship with the thing that they're growing inside of them. And then obviously, like you said, the first 6 months, it really is that mum and baby co-sleeping or breastfeeding. We're just there.
Yeah. You're there. You're there. And I mean this with, and not in a disrespectful way, in a right way. It's like, you're there to keep mom happy and say, no, as in like keep her going mentally, physically, just, you know, so that she can, you know, bond with the baby and stuff.
But she can be the best mom she can be.
Yeah. But that bit when they start talking and giving you back, you go, oh, okay. There's a little person here. I can.
That's arrived.
Yeah.
And he's arrived. But even like the other day, obviously, where we've been at home so much together at the moment. He's not really used to not being with us, other than when he goes to nursery. But he's occupied, he doesn't really care, he's with his friends. But I have a dad to go to the showroom to design for Bell Botti.
this is not a plugging podcast, obviously. Yeah. Are you gonna do a kids range?
Of course, I've already got a model.
Okay, cool. All right, good. So
I was out all day. It's the first time I've been out all day. I've not been with him. So then when I got home, he was so excited to see me like running like, daddy.
Yeah.
And it's like long proper hug. It was amazing. It's like, obviously, yeah, it was just nice. I'd had a really, really good day. I didn't think it'd get any better. Then when I got home, it was really nice. It was a really nice welcome.
Yeah, no, that's when they start running to the door. They don't always do that, but yeah, you're like, that's good.
Becky used to do that back in the day when we first got together.
Right. Maria, it's the final question. Are you ready for the final question?
Yeah.
Okay, right. It's the question I ask everybody, right? If you could go back in time in a time machine to the day before Park was born, what advice would you give yourself?
I think first and foremost, just go with it. Don't listen to what anybody else tells you to do as a parent. That's one thing that I found, especially with social media, is everyone's this this amazing, faultless parent that can tell you that every single little thing that you do is wrong and not just because it isn't the way that they did it. So just that, do what you think is right. That your child, you're obviously going to do what's best for your child. So don't take anyone's insults or anything to heart. If it's someone on social media, if it's a family member. I think that's one thing. That's one thing at the start I found really hard is that I had so many people throwing things at me, especially on social media. I was a bit like, I felt really deflated. We were doing everything wrong. So I think as looking at how Park has turned out where we are now, we didn't do anything wrong, actually. We got it pretty spot on. But I think, like we said earlier, probably the main thing as well, that don't feel bad for not, you haven't got to give everything to your kids. You're allowed to have something. You're allowed to hold something back for yourself because it will, like we said, make you a better parent.
Mm.
100%. And not just for yourself, but for your partner. If you remember what your life was like before you had a child, there's no reason that you can't still have date nights. It doesn't make you bad people. It makes you better, but you're just human. Well, why would you not do that?
Yeah, bang on. Perfect. Mario, thank you so much, mate. Great. Thank you.
So there we go, another episode of Ben Behaving Dadly. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And you do us a favour, could you hit the subscribe button? That would be amazing. And also possibly leave us a review because that really, really makes a difference. And also, I'm getting very professional now. I've got myself an email address for this and all sorts. It's info@benbehavingdadly.com. And here's the plan, right? If you've got a hack or a tip or any advice, email it over and I might throw it on the pod. Or also, if you're struggling with some sort of problem and you want me to put it to a celebrity guest, let me know, info@benbehavingdadly.com. Also, you can find me on all socials @benhanlon. See you next week.